The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
We've got Gary Moller. Good morning, Gary.
Oh, good morning, Rodney. Good to be speaking with you.
It's so lovely to hear from you. You're our, we've got several resident health gurus, but you're a specialist one in terms of diagnostics and treatment.
Well, I certainly do have a reasonable amount of experience, something like 20 years worth to call upon. So, yes, to a degree, you are correct.
We're going to talk lead because we had Brian Arndt on. It was a terrible, terrible case, which you, I understand, have listened to. Can I hit you with one from one of our listeners first up? And it's this. Hi, Rodney. I hear you have Gary Moller on today. I don't suppose you could ask him how to overcome from hydrofluoric acid exposure. Hubby's hands were exposed to it after wearing some contaminated gloves at work. And despite using all the lotions and potions from the doctor, he's relapsed with further skin outbreaks, and it's getting him down. And that's from Beth. Now, I don't want to hit you on the spot if you need to look it up, but have you got any immediate thoughts for Beth?
Well, first of all, when it comes to testing, it's very difficult to test for volatile minerals such as fluoride. So that's the first problem that we have with testing for fluoride or fluoride exposure. But we certainly can look at signs and symptoms of which he appears to have. Now, everything in the universe, and when we talk about lead toxicity or lead poisoning, the same principles apply. Everything in the universe is about balance, about opposing forces. It's Newtonian forces. For every force there must be, and there is, an equal and opposite one. And when it comes to minerals, including fluoride, there are synergistic and opposing minerals. And So think of yin-yang, black, white, hot, cold, male, female, positive, negative, light, dark. Conservative, liberal. Everything must be in balance in the universe for there to be harmony. Now, there are certain elements which you just don't want, which are sort of like the jokers in the pack, and these are your toxic elements. Sometimes referred to as heavy metals, but let's call them toxic elements, of which fluoride is one. Now, if you go to the periodic table of the elements, you will see the halides or the halogens. And in descending order of potency is fluorine, chlorine, bromine, iodine, and astatine. Now, fluoride is on top of the lot, and then you have chlorine and then bromine, and you'll be aware that chlorine and bromine are used as antiseptics or antibiotics. They're used for treating water or for fumigating imported fruit and vegetables. And then underneath that comes iodine. Iodine sits below those three toxic elements. If somebody has been exposed to those toxic elements, fluorine, chlorine, or bromine, then the counter to that is dear old iodine. So the first thing I would suggest is that he needs to have a diet which is relatively rich in iodine. Now, there may be other factors when it comes to the effect on the skin, and I think, some nutritional therapies for encouraging strong, healthy skin and a strong immune system would be helpful. That includes things like the fat-soluble vitamins, vitamins A, D, E, and K, which are often added to high-end skin creams as beauty products. And they certainly would be beneficial, along with nutrients such as collagen and vitamin C and so on, which are all great for healthy connective tissue, for healing skin and so on. So there we go. That's part of the great answer.
Thank you so much. And how amazing that you can do that on the spot. Now,
I'm doing it off the top of my head, and I'm trying to picture the periodic table of the elements in my head, and I think I got it right.
You're doing extremely well. I just need to confirm for Vivian. Funny, yes, indeed. I just Googled it. Press release, United Nations adopts groundbreaking pact for the future to transform global government. World leaders yesterday, on the 22nd of September 2024, adopted a pact for the future and includes a global digital compact and a declaration on future generations. This pact is a culmination of an inclusive years-long process to adapt international cooperation to the realities of today and the challenges of tomorrow. The most wide-ranging international agreement in many years, covering entirely new areas as well as issues on which agreement has not been possible in decades. The pact aims above all to ensure that international institutions can deliver in the face of a world that has changed dramatically since they were created. Yadi, yadi, ya. And on it goes. And it's going to do this. The entire pact, I'm just reading bits of it to make you sick. The entire pact is designed to turbocharge implementation of the Sustainable Development Goals. Oh, the Global Digital Compact, annexed to the pact, is the first comprehensive global framework for digital cooperation and AI governance. Anchor digital cooperation and human rights and international law. Well, there you go. If people were texting me wondering if that had happened, it's happened.
And we must talk about lead, but yes. Can I just make a quick comment about this,
please?
Issue. As you know, we had a discussion about this some years ago, you and I, on this whole issue, that the solution, we can jump up and down as much as we like, but the solutions are going to be political. We need to, who is going to save us is Donald Trump and RFK getting into power with sufficient support to be able to basically tell the FDA and so on what to do, and to basically pull up the United Nations and the World Health Organization. To act in the best interests of the people. And here in New Zealand, the freedom movement, for want of a better expression, needs to take over or become politically more active. We need to dominate our own parliament, and we can do that if we merely unite. So that's just my little comment.
No,
we can jump up and down. We need to get into a position of political power and influence. And we've only got half a dozen MPs that are sympathetic to us.
Mm-hmm.
The rest, in my opinion, are our enemies.
I agree. And isn't it fascinating? You're like me. I think the election of Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and RFK Jr. could change the trajectory of the world.
Absolutely.
In a very good way. And how amazing is it to have these, that to have Robert Kennedy involved?
Yeah. Robert Kennedy, Trump, and so on, J.D. Vance. Look, some aspects of them don't gel well with me.
Mm-hmm.
However, We have a greater mission, and that is to restore freedom and democracy. And what you're seeing there with those candidates is the coalition of rivals. And they don't have to agree on everything. You don't have to like Trump. And so on. But the fact is that when you bring those opposing forces together, which is what I've been talking about, this Newtonian principle, is that you end up with basically harmony in such a way that the job will get done. The coalition of rivals, we saw that during World War II.
Yes.
The Allies did a deal with Stalin, and the Russians, the Soviets, ended up sacrificing over 20 million people. They won World War II for us. Okay?
Yes.
And Stalin, like him or hate him, he saved our bacon.
Yes. Yep. By the way, Bev, just come back. Look at this real time. I appreciate that, Gary. I've already some collagen in my arsenal, so we'll get that implemented straight away for him. Thanks so much, RCR. Top-notch service. Regards, Bev. You're absolutely right, Gary. It's time to put aside the petty squabbles for the big picture.
Yes.
And the big picture is reining in these supranational organizations, the UN, the World Health Organization, what we heard from Jody Brunning, these non-governmental organizations that are awash with billions and billions of dollars and that are influencing our minds with their propaganda, our research with their twisted funding models. And you actually feel as though with President Trump and RFK particularly, there's going to be a clean out. And I imagine if you were in one of these organizations, you would be shaking because I think you're going to be exposed. That's all we need is actually sunlight into what they've been doing.
Yes.
Now, Gary, we had Brian Arndt on. It was a shocking story. It's still with me. When I finished interviewing him, I could hardly finish the show because it so rocked me that you could be a man working in the 1960s, early 1970s, that you're just doing your job, pouring these drums in, you're being exposed to this lead. The company itself trashes all the records. The health system loses your records. Your former co-workers are dead through lead contamination. He was an amazing man, expert in it. Talk to us about lead.
Well, first of all, yes, it was a great interview, Rodney, and thank you for doing that, and to Brian Arndt as well for being so frank. This exposure to toxins and like the what we've just been discussing about fluoride, it's very common. I've just finished discussing exposure to toxins, aluminium, lead, cadmium, arsenic. These come up all the time when we do testing. It's New Zealand is far from clean and green. It's lead is definitely widespread. I certainly can identify the common sources of lead in New Zealand's environment, and that's something we might want to talk at. Rodney, this is a very complex and convoluted topic, and we could spend a lot of time just talking about lead, sources of contamination, signs, symptoms, and also the remediation in terms of a person's health. Rodney, the first thing that a person should do is do accurate testing. There is an issue with urine and blood testing versus hair tissue mineral analysis. And then the question of how do you get rid of the lead or the other toxins that might be in a person's body. And do you do that through chelation therapy or other means? Now, the first thing, by the way, Rodney, is to test and to do accurate testing that can pick up acute exposure to lead. In other words, exposure that might have happened in the last week or two. That's your blood and urine tests, by the way. And then there's the measuring of historic exposure. And that's where the hair tissue mineral analysis can come up, comes into its strength. I can pick up somebody who owned a slug gun 50 years ago when they were a teenage boy and were putting the slugs in their mouth while loading the slug gun.
Gee whiz.
And you can pick it up 50 years later, incredibly. And it's not necessarily by being able to see the lead, but by being able to see the nutritional elements patterns. And that's because lead has a suppressing effect on certain nutritional elements, such as calcium and magnesium. And so you look for normal and abnormal patterns, and that may indicate the presence of hidden toxins such as lead and cadmium. Now, what happens when somebody is exposed to a toxin like lead? And let's think about lead because it is very common. When Brian is exposed to lead or anybody else for that matter, the body has got detoxification processes which will kick into high gear to try and eliminate it through the bile, in other words, the digestive tract. And by the way, that's where psyllium comes into play, or else through the urine. And so it would show up for about a week or so as elevated in a urine test or circulating in the blood. And this is why polluting industries love the urine and blood tests, okay? Because after about a week, it will be barely present in the blood and also in the urine, okay? So if you think of, people complain that they have been exposed to lead. We used to have this happen in the Exide battery recycling factory out in the Hutt Valley in Petone. And people occasionally complained of, in the surrounding area, complained of that they were poisoned by the lead, okay, because yep. There might have been an accidental emission. By the time the person, and the company would offer free, or did offer at times, free blood tests for people in the surrounding district. Now, that was very cynical. I certainly opposed it at the time, and that's because after about a week, the lead that was circulating is gone. And by the time somebody feels they are tired or, you know, they're being affected in various ways by the toxin, and they go to the doctor and they get the blood test and all that sort of thing, guess what? It's been wicked out of the blood, out of the circulation. And so, of course, hey, it's a negative test or it's minimal. You know, suits the polluting industry, but not the person. Now, what happens to the toxin, the lead, that cannot be eliminated through the urine or through the bile rapidly within that first week? The rest gets sequestered, and it gets sequestered in the most inert tissue, which is bone and fat. That is why toxic elements like lead are called osteophilic and lipophilic. Now, so it gets sequestered in inert tissue, bone, and fat. And unfortunately, that includes your brain, which is principally made up of fat. And so that's one reason why elements like lead are particularly toxic neurologically. And then, so it's stored in those tissues, and it won't show up on a urine test or a blood test. If you do, now this is where chelation therapy comes in. The laboratories that I have worked with for the best of 20 plus years, and the clinical laboratories and ARL laboratories, which are all United States based and have a very long history, they do not recommend chelation therapy. I just don't use chelation therapy. Now, there are various reasons. First of all, one of the risks of chelation therapy is that you whip out all of the nutritional elements and you only skim the surface of those inert tissues. Bone, for example, takes 7 or 8 years to completely turn over. So if you're going to be removing toxins that are deeply embedded in the bone, chelation therapy is only going to skim the very surface, and it's going to have a minimal effect on what's stored in the fat, including the brain. Instead, the better process for removing these toxins... let me just go back first of all. First of all, you do the right testing. It's like establishing a set of accounts. You've got to know what's there. And you also need to know the status of all the other nutritional elements, calcium, magnesium, sodium, potassium, zinc, copper, and so on and so on. You need to know what they are because they all have an important role in protecting you from toxins. Now, I mentioned iodine for fluoride, for example. So you need to first of all, do a stock take. You would never run your business without a set of accurate accounts, would you?
No.
Well, nowadays we can do the same with our body. So that's the first thing. Then the next thing you do is you make sure that if you're wanting to heal, think of healing a burn. The first thing you do is you treat it, you start treating it, but you've got to make sure that that person doesn't go and take that hand and put it back on the hot plate. So you have to identify whether or not there are sources of contamination in that person's environment. So if you're going to be removing a toxin like lead, you've got to make sure they're not putting significant amounts back into the body. And there are many sources of lead. For example, just collecting water off a rooftop. Think of rural New Zealand. I've just got off the phone talking to somebody who was a farmer, and I could tell he was a farmer by looking at his hair tissue test because we could see the effects of diesel exhaust, but also taking water off his rooftop and the contaminants that come from the corrugated iron and the paint and so on, and that gets into his body. Until we resolve that, any therapy is not going to cure him, going to significantly improve that person's health. Now, and then the way that we remove what might be deeply embedded in the body is we use strategies, therapies that enhances your body's own processes for removing these. Now, if you think of lead, or cadmium or similar ones that are embedded in the bone. One of the direct antagonists of lead, and cadmium for that matter, is calcium. So we ensure that there is an adequate supply of dietary calcium and various cofactors that go towards enhancing the replacement of old bone with new bone. In addition to that, there are other nutrients which help to reduce the toxicity of elements like lead when it's in circulation. Things like vitamin C and various beta-carotenes, which can be given but also need to be emphasized in the diet. Got the idea, Rodney?
Yes, I've got the idea.
Yeah, it might sound complicated, but it's actually quite straightforward. There are other complicating factors. So when I was listening to Brian, you talking with Brian, for example, if somebody's got cardiovascular issues, which can be related to toxins like lead, by the way, which will drive those things, those diseases, most older people are encouraged to go low salt, to have low salt diets. Okay? You just go into any, say, old person's home and so on, you will see that salt is off the menu. Everything is low salt. Now, salt is the universal detoxifier, sodium chloride. And now, if a person is on a low-salt diet, then toxic elements such as lead cannot be kept in circulation. For a person to eliminate, so the first thing you're doing is you're wanting to pull these things gently, and by the way, I emphasize the word gently, you want to be pulling these toxic elements gently out of tissue storage, out of the bones. And by the way, fatty tissue, where these things are stored, include not just the brain and the bones. I mentioned fatty tissue. That includes the liver and kidneys and other organs like those. Okay? So we'll often see issues with the liver and the kidneys. You might see gout and so on. So when you are gently pulling these things out into circulation, you need to keep them in circulation. If you don't, then your body can't eliminate them from the body itself through the urine and bile. Okay? And it is sodium chloride which keeps those toxins dissolved in the circulation, thus allowing the kidneys and the liver and that to process them and shove them out of the body. By the way, when somebody is toxic, and if the liver and kidneys cannot cope, there is a backup, an emergency way of disposing of these toxins. And that is via the hair, skin, and nails. And that is, incidentally, one of the reasons why hair tissue analysis is so good at picking these things up. So you will see, particularly in tradies who are exposed to toxins like lead, cadmium, and also various organic solvents. Think of what's in epoxy resins, paints, all kinds of chemical residues. If the liver can't cope, if the kidneys can't cope, then it is excreted out via the skin, the hair and nails. So you will often see conditions like flaky skin. Psoriasis is a very good example. the mass shedding of skin as a way of detoxifying in an emergency.
It's amazing how the body works, isn't it, to deal with
this? You know, we could have a long discussion about our DNA, our genetics, our bodies, how it works. Our bodies are incredibly intelligent. One reason why I don't do DNA testing, by the way, Rodney, and I'm sidetracking slightly, is because we should be honoring, we should be in awe of our DNA. Instead, we are being told to fear our DNA, okay? So, you know, you've got to get that DNA test to find out whether or not you've got the breast cancer gene or whether or not you've got the von Leiden factor or this or that or the other. I don't like that. What we should be doing is we should be nurturing and looking after our DNA. If we do that, then these horrible genes that might become a problem for us will never be a problem. And that's done through being gentle on our bodies, nourishing it with beautiful, natural, nutrient-dense foods and avoiding exposure to toxins, whether it's lead or whether it's thousands and thousands and thousands of different chemicals. And New Zealand, by the way, I think is one of the most toxic first world countries, if we're still a first world country, on the planet. We are massive users of pesticides and herbicides, for example. We do have a problem. Lead is part of the problem. I've certainly been able, through testing, to identify the main sources of lead contamination today. It used to be petrol, it no longer is, but there certainly is lead in the environment. I come across it a lot, and there are sources of it. And by the way, I'm not surprised that Brian has been basically, He is an extreme of being cancelled, okay? Because these problems are too big, okay? They're so big that the authorities, health officials and that, don't want to know, okay? So they'll cancel people out.
They can't deal with the problem. It's so big.
Well, yes, exactly. Next week, I think I'm doing an interview with Paul Brennan on arsenic in New Zealand, which is a bigger problem than lead in New Zealand. Not to say that lead isn't a problem. Cadmium is a problem. If you want to know about, Google Waikato Valley Authority cadmium in Waikato soils, okay? And you will be shocked that, and it's because cadmium has been a contaminant in superphosphate, and the spreading of superphosphate on our soils means that we can no longer export offal to the European Union. And it's not because of lead, it's because of cadmium, okay? Because cadmium accumulates in liver and kidneys. And so animals other than lambs and calves are basically toxic. So that's just one example. And I've had people whose health has been destroyed by cadmium. Lead can typically there's a number of sources, Rodney. Old paint, And Brian mentioned about lead down the backyard. Okay, I'll give you a classic example. Righto. So people with chooks, and they're down in an old shed and run down at the back of the paddock or the back of the yard. And we test the family because of health issues like eczema and asthma and learning difficulties in the children. They've got they're eating eggs, and they have, and we find through testing elevated lead. And guess what? The shed where the chooks are has got flaking paint, and it's old paint which has got lead.
Gee,
and of course, lead is sweet. And so the chooks will eat those lead flakes that are in the soil. Okay? So there's a classic example of it. That's why one reason why, you know, like native parrots and that have been poisoned by eating lead shot from shotguns and so on. Now, I've had a woman who suffered quite catastrophic lead poisoning from candles. So every day she would come home, she would light a candle. And and these exotic candles had a lead wick in it to stop the, a lead filament to stop the wick from drooping. And she was inadvertently poisoning herself with lead. We're talking about trace amounts, just parts per million of these toxic elements. You don't need to be doing what Brian was doing and working with it by the drum load.
You can just have this low
tiny
level
amounts.
This low level exposure over a long time.
Yes. Yes, and so there's no acute symptoms. But what happens is people just start getting arthritic and inflamed and tired, and their brain's not working as well, and they think, oh, I'm just getting old, okay? Yes, they are getting old, but that doesn't mean, you know, aging and aches and pains and dementia and all of these things are not synonymous with aging. You can age and be incredibly healthy. Okay? One of the big drivers is nutrient depletion through nutrient depleted food plus exposure to toxins, including lead. Mm. Other sources of lead, a classic, is drinking water off a roof. Lead is found in a lot of the older paints, which may still be on the roof. Think of lead flashing, lead head nails, and rainwater is acidic. It is typically a pH of about 5.5. pH neutral is 7.4. Rainwater dissolves metals and creates metal salt, or puts it into solution, which then gets into a person's water supply, and then, of course, they drink it, and over many months, if not years, you get a gradual accumulation and a gradual deterioration in health. That's another example. Owning a firearm. Anybody who owns a firearm is at risk of lead poisoning. All that I need to know is that if somebody has owned a firearm, and that even is a slug gun as a child, as a teenager, then there is a possibility that they have lead in their bodies. And this can be 20, 30, 40 years ago. Because it stays in the body unless you are providing the right nutrients to help remove it. Now, by the way, if somebody has got... if you think of things like diatomaceous earth and psyllium and so on, when a toxin like lead is excreted via the bile, that is squirted into the duodenum, the upper intestine, and then it has to make the journey right through to the bowel, and then the colon and anus, and then you know, pump. Basically, hopefully, it goes down the toilet. Incidentally, human waste can no longer be used for composting, for producing compost, and that's because of the high levels of cadmium. So all of those foods that are grown in superphosphate food, phosphate soils, which are contaminated with cadmium, it's taken up in the vegetables and that people eat it, and then they poo it out, and it ends up in the sewage, and it's of such a high level that it can't be used as be mixed with other stuff to make fertilizer. Compost. Just saying. If somebody is constipated, then there is the risk that those toxins that are being eliminated through the bile will be reabsorbed into the bloodstream. So being able to having regular bowel movements, one or two a day, is important, and having a high fiber or a relatively high fiber diet, or using things, eating foods like kiwi fruit and various other things which have a bulking and laxative effect, and you can add psyllium in there as well, will help to prevent the recycling of toxins.
I've just had a text in from Brian. Yep. And he says, "Hi, Rodney, please tell Gary Moller I'm taking 20 grams per day of psyllium.
Yeah.
Plus 3,000 units per day of lipospheric vitamin C."
Yes. Yes.
And he thanks you for your presentation.
So Brian's, Brian's on the money. He's doing the right things. However, there are... This is where the testing becomes important, because and we also need to know what medications he's on. Now, so for example, many of medications for mood disorders like anxiety and depression, and also for cardiovascular disease, can inhibit the natural detoxification processes. I just had a woman, we'd just done a hair tissue test this morning. I just reviewed one. Her calcium levels were amongst, well, the lowest I've seen in probably the last 10 years.
Gee.
And I've done thousands of these tests. And I put that down to the long-term use of medications, particularly for analgesics and for mood. And one of the dirty secrets of some of these medications is the acceleration of bone loss, or the interference with laying down of healthy bone, and also for detoxification. If we take Brian, for example, and I can talk about him, I did listen to your interview, Brian, so... I was aware that you're taking vitamin C and so on, but do you need calcium? And also, what form of calcium do you need? Do you need additional magnesium? What about zinc? What about manganese? These are all important nutrients which may be in excess, or they may be deficient. And again, there's this idea of doing the stock take. When you do the stock take, you then know your profit and loss, you know the toxicities, you know what's, you know where to direct your attention for the maximum benefit. Without accurate testing, you are basically, it's like trying to shoot baskets in basketball, blindfolded, with earmuffs and thick gloves. In other words, it's you're shooting in the dark, and that's not the way. Rodney, I'll tell you this: supplements don't work. Okay, and I'll tell you the reason why, and that's because it's hit and miss. In most cases, when you do accurate testing, and you know how to interpret the testing, and that's complicated, by the way, then supplements are amazing. They transform people's lives. Now, another point to make, and you will have gathered this from what I was saying about the way that these toxins, lead, is osteophilic and lipophilic, is that there's no overnight solutions. We're talking about human beings. We're not talking about lab rats or mice. We have to think in terms of human years, not rat or mouse years. It takes a long time to turn around somebody's health, particularly if they've been digging themselves into a deep hole for the last 20, 30, 40 years, sometimes from birth. There's no overnight cures or solutions. It's a slow, gradual process. For myself, Rodney, I started this testing some 20 years ago on myself. I was the first one. And my journey has been over that period of time. It's taken me the last 15, 20 years to get to where I am, where I feel like I have restored my health to being very good. Okay? It's taken me from my 50s through to my 70s.
Wow.
To feel like I've really achieved it. You've got to think in terms of human years, not mouse years. And to be very patient and very methodical about how you go about restoring health, including detoxifying toxins that are buried deep within tissue.
We are talking to Gary Moller about lead poisoning following Brian's call. I've got some questions come in. A question for you and Gary. We've had several on this, Gary. What is happening with the Therapeutics Products Act, and has it been repealed yet?
Okay.
Well, have I cut it across lead? I'm going to come to your webpage too, but let's just do this one. Oh. I'm not cutting in.
Well, first of all, just if people want to learn more about lead, just use Google. Again, a love-hate relationship that I do have with Google is Google Gary Moller lead or Gary Moller lead toxicity. Google Gary Moller mercury, Gary Moller arsenic, Gary Moller cadmium. Okay, those and just remember, often what's good for cadmium is good for arsenic, is good for lead. What's good for mercury is good for lead. The same principles more or less apply. So that's a good way of starting. If people want to research further and get a better idea of my approach, our laboratory's approach, to the identification and detoxification of these really nasty toxins that are ubiquitous. They're everywhere. Oh, can I just say one other thing about lead? There was discussion, Brian raised the problem of lead contamination in places like Waikawhiti, just north of Dunedin. It's something I know well, and by the way, I used to live in Dunedin. And I have tested numerous people from Dunedin, and in particular, let's talk about families who have got children who have neurological issues such as ADHD and autism and so on. Now, there are clusters in Dunedin of families with lead unusually high levels of lead. Okay, I have tried to bring this up with the authorities, particularly when there was that issue of lead contamination in some of the northern villages of Dunedin. Now, Brian and I might differ as to the source. I am pretty confident that the source is coming from old water pipes. Now, it's not in people's homes. It's the municipal water pipes that in the old days, they would use lead to seal the joints between the pipes. And over time, it begins to break down and oxidize and then release into the water, which then is delivered to people's homes. Dunedin is one of those places, and undoubtedly places further north that probably got their pipes at about the same time. Now, there are definitely clusters in Dunedin. Now, water testing is, in my view, a waste of time because if there is a high flow of water, then the water is going to be more or less clear. It's like testing water off a roof. The only time worth testing water off a roof is after a prolonged drought and then taking the first flush. If you take a water sample when it's been raining and so on, like at this time of the year, you're going to get a negative result. And it only takes one or two cups of contaminated water to have a negative health effect on a person. Now, why do I think there are clusters in cities like Dunedin? I think it has to do with the water supply to, say, sort of end-of-the-line sources. So a family that lives in a old suburb or a suburb with old municipal pipes and where the water is not flowing but may at times even be stagnant, and then that household and maybe other households around it, they take, they draw off the water, and that is it's got to be water which has a low flow. So I'm thinking of the end of the line type sources. Now, why don't the medical authorities in Dunedin, you know, the medical officer of health and that, why did they downplay the contamination and that was identified in Waikawhiti and so on, is because you're talking about a $1 billion problem. Replacing all of those water pipes is just too big. You just look like here in Wellington. It's billions of dollars. The ratepayers can't afford it. And if it was acknowledged that it really was a health issue, people would be up in arms.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's too big a problem.
Oh, my goodness. I want to...
Rodney, let's just... arsenic, okay? Our love affair with soft timber. We can't have soft timber without treating it with things that stop rotting, which keep pests away, like insects and so on. And what's toxic for insects is toxic for humans. The only difference is that you and I are big pests. We need a bigger dose, okay? It's big problems. They're really big problems that we need to deal with. But, Rodney, the best thing is, first of all, minimize our exposure. And the other thing is to take nutritional elements which counter the toxic effects of these toxins that we're exposed to every day.
But the first thing,
can we talk about the Therapeutic Products Act?
But I just want to give you a plug, because you can go to GaryMoller.com and look it up. But here's the key thing: is the testing. It's called hair tissue mineral analysis. The most useful forensic tool for identifying the root causes of ill health injuries that fail to heal correctly and poor performance, determining a person's nutrient status, identifying any exposures to toxic elements such as mercury, lead and arsenic, and guiding nutrition and lifestyle-based therapies. So go to GaryMoller.com. If you go there, it's a wealth of resource for information, but also you can have remarkably healthy and fit people who are suffering from a deficiency or from a poisoning. So good work, Gary. Now tell us where we are with the Therapeutic Goods Act.
Yeah, well, thank you for the plug, by the way, Rodney. But to be honest, I don't need any more work. I'm trying to cut down. I want to retire.
There you go.
So I made a verbal presentation via Zoom to the committee that is overseeing the repeal and replacement of the Therapeutic Products Act. Okay? So, look, Winston may be in our bad books at the moment, but good on him and Shane Jones and the other New Zealand First MPs for getting this into the coalition agreement. However, while I was listening to the presentations, and each one is supposedly limited to 5 minutes, the first thing I started to notice is that the people who were our opponents, the ones who wanted the Therapeutic Products Act, they were given actually a really good reception, and many of them went over time, okay? And then there were two who were opposed or who were supporting the repeal of the legislation. That was myself. I gave a presentation, and I actually got quite angry while I was giving it. First of all, I barely had 5 minutes. And the other thing is that they were kind of like stony, and I actually got quite angry towards the end because I felt like I sort of sensed from the body language of via the video that I was speaking to a brick wall.
Ooh.
And then later, Paddy Fahey of the Natural Health Alliance, who is the group that I'm part of and we worked with, and we were key in getting rid of the Therapeutic Products Act. If it wasn't a Zoom, I think it would have been a fistfight. Viral and co, they were outright hostile to Paddy, okay? They just ignored me, but when it came to Paddy, they just launched into him, accusing him of unethical behaviour, you know, like, why did you put all this money into, you know, advertising campaigns supporting New Zealand First and all this sort of stuff? And Paddy was absolutely offended because what they were wasting his time with had absolutely nothing to do with the Therapeutic Products Act repeal. So, Rodney, I came away from that with a sense of alarm, okay? Yes. The Therapeutic Products Act is being repealed, okay? However, it's going to be replaced by something else. And that committee, bar a minimal representation from New Zealand First, National, ACT, Labor, the Greens, the Maori Party, they are not our friends when it comes to this, okay? It's going to be replaced, but what on earth are we going to get in return? Okay, I'm very concerned.
Gee whiz.
And what that highlights to me, Rodney, is that the freedom movement has to unite. We have to get not half a dozen MPs into Parliament. We need to get dozens in.
Agreed.
Okay, if we don't do that, we are screwed. And just on that, if we don't see Trump, Vance, RFK Jr., and they need to dominate, they need to not just be in power, They need to dominate the Senate and so on. If they don't, we are screwed, okay? Where America goes, we go.
I agree.
Oh, sorry.
I agree. I totally agree. I actually think this, I cannot, when I'm fascinated by American history, and I don't think in the American history there's been a more fateful election than this one that's coming.
Well, Rodney, you just look at the assassination attempts and the lack of protection. You know, he should be surrounded by armored cars and an army of the biggest, meanest Secret Service agents and so on. And the same with like RFK Jr.
Yes.
You know.
And they need
robust protection.
They've deliberately withheld it. They've inflamed people who are mentally unwell. And the incompetence is so incompetent, you have to believe that it's planned.
Yeah, it is a real concern. And,
how amazing is Donald Trump, though? I had a high-velocity rifle aimed at me and a bullet passed by my head and nicked my ear, there is no way I could stand in front of another audience and calmly read a speech or give a speech.
You've got to give the guy credit.
He's tough.
You've got to give him credit where it's due, and his bravery, and sticking to the plan that he's got. I'm really quite amazed. I don't care about his past now.
No.
He was a bit of a bad boy, you know, a rich kid who, you know, probably, you know, I didn't like him previously.
No, me neither.
I really disliked him.
Me too.
He put me off, you know, when he did that, put that golf course into that those wetlands in Scotland.
Yes.
You know, but, you know, hey. I think he's had an epiphany. You know, he's getting older, and he's a little bit like me, and you start thinking about doing the right thing.
And
what's
going to
be my legacy? How am I going to be remembered?
And Casey and Kelly Means have been amazing in bringing RFK to him.
Yes.
Gary,
yes.
Always wonderful talking. Keep in touch and keep cycling.
And running.
Hand running, there you go.
Keep doing the jiu-jitsu, by the way, Rodney.
Indeed, my kids are big on it.
Yes.
There we go, that's Gary Moller. You can visit his webpage at garymoller.com.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.